Greetings, Hoopsheads. Welcome to Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's Wednesday, May 2nd. I'm your host, Aliko Carter. Steph returned in a big way in the game last night, and everybody else played. There was some up and down basketball, and then a little scary with all of those threes that the Pelicans were making nearly at the end of the game, but Steph definitely changed everything. There was some solid defense played throughout the game. I thought Kevon Looney was excellent on Anthony Davis. We're going to get into all of that and more, as well as the game that LeBron somehow managed to win against the Toronto Raptors. Game one, continuing the Raptors' curse even after they seemingly broke it in the last series against the Washington Wizards. Thanks for listening. You can get this podcast on iTunes, iOS, Spotify, and Google Play, as well as LockedOnWarriors.com. Make sure you bookmark that page and LockedOnSports.com. You can get in touch with me via Twitter at Koji Tare. It's Kogitare, or via email at AlikoCarter11@gmail.com. What a fast game. I mean, that's the first thing you really notice was that the pace was extremely fast, 39 fast break points for the New Orleans Pelicans to 26 for the Warriors, which still outdoes their season average. And the Pelicans did a good job of just ramming it down the Warriors' throat, 66 points in the paint to only 38 points in the paint for the Warriors. But the Warriors went to the line. Oh, did they go to the line, making 22 of 27 and 7 of 9. For the New Orleans Pelicans. Conspiracy theorists in New Orleans are going to be talking about this game, saying that it was rigged, I'm sure. Because there's no way that a team should only shoot 9 free throws in a game. I'm sure there were a lot of major moments where the Pelicans felt they got fouled. And, the whistle was blowing on one side, it wasn't blowing on the other side. But the Warriors' defense was absolutely swarming. I will give them credit. They did an amazing job, for the most part, of not fouling, but just having quick, active hands, moving their feet extremely well. I thought, like I said earlier, Kevon Looney played excellent minutes on Anthony Davis. And for the most part, Davis was a non-crazy factor. Like, let's be honest, 25 points, 15 rebounds, including 4 on the offensive end. He was 12 of 24 from the field. He shot 50%, but he needed 24 shots to get 25 points. Not making an appearance at the free throw line, you can bet that in New Orleans for Game 3 on Friday, they're going to pound the ball into Davis. He's going to try his best to have his way against. There was a lot of good ball denial on Davis last night, and they're going to try to game plan around that to get Davis the ball in his spots. He did shoot the ball well. 72% of his shots last night were well inside the mid-range area, according to NBA.com, but he didn't go to the line once. That means the Warriors picked their spots extremely well. You know, he scored without being fouled, which is really important because often the Warriors will give up three-point plays by not fouling hard enough or choosing to make the foul too late. But it was an extremely disciplined defensive game from everybody, and once again, it begins with Draymond Green. He played 41 minutes, registering a 99.3 defensive rating in that time. It's not the lowest rating on the team, but he did play the most minutes of anyone with a rating in the 90s. Andre Iguodala, 96.6. Kevon Looney, 91.9, doing work in 23 minutes. Steph Curry, 96.5, and an offensive rating of 130. So, Steph's back. But back to Draymond, he was present in all of the Warriors' best defensive units. His net rating was only a 6.4 compared with a 33.5 for Steph. But Draymond was on the floor in those moments when Steph, who played 27 minutes, scored 28 points, very special. We'll get to him in the second segment. When Steph was doing his thing on the offensive end, Draymond was doing his thing on the defensive end. And they really counted on him to carry the load. Also, Kevin Durant doing work on Anthony Davis. I really want to praise Looney. But Kevin Durant did some good work on Anthony Davis as well. And he blocked a jump shot. There was another blocked jump shot. That's two in this game. That's the drinking game. You take a shot whenever the Warriors block a jump shot. It's not going to get you drunk, but it'll get you tipsy. Draymond had 20 points and just missed the triple-double with 9 rebounds, helping the Warriors rebound by committee. And once again, out-rebound the Pelicans, though only by 3 this time around. 8 rebounds from Andre, 8 rebounds from Kevon, 6 from Klay Thompson, 6 from Durant, and 7 from Wardell Curry, who remains one of the best rebounding point guards in the league. As I said, rebounding was going to be key, and even though the Warriors allowed 66 points in the paint, they really did work on the boards, even nabbing a few offensive rebounds, though they did allow 19 second chance points to the New Orleans Pelicans, who grabbed 10 offensive rebounds. The Pelicans played a great game. I want to say they played about as well as they could play, aside from just the aggressiveness in getting to the line. The only players to shoot free throws for the Pels were Mirotić, Rondo, and Darius Miller. None for Drew Holiday, and as I said, none for Anthony Davis. Really short rotations for New Orleans, with Davis playing 43 minutes, Drew Holiday playing 46 and a half, Mirotić 39, Rajon Rondo 38, and Etuan Moore played 36. The bench was used extremely sparingly. And I'm not sure, you know, it's great that they have 2 more days, you know, that these games are spread out with 2 days in between, because these players have to be exhausted after 40 to 45 minutes of basketball at the pace that they were playing, which is ridiculous. 39 fast break points, as I said, contributing to the 66 points in the paint. I do want to talk about Rondo really quickly, 8 of 15 from the field. He made 3 three-pointers. The Warriors were laying off of him. The only person who shot really well from 3, Etuan Moore, made 4 of 8, which was solid. He had 12 assists, but he had 7 turnovers. Rondo, that is. 7 turnovers. 5 steals, but, you know, you force Rondo into 7 turnovers and make him a volume assister, so to speak, and you're doing real good, because usually it's 12 assists, which he had in this game, and, like, you know, 3 turnovers, a 4 to 1 assist to turnover ratio, right? This is a less than 1 to 1 assist to turnover ratio, and you do that, and of course the Pelicans did only have 13 turnovers. They did a good job of taking care of the ball outside of Rondo, but the Warriors were swarming, and I just really thought it was important to curtail Rondo's ability to make plays, and they did that. You're listening to Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Stay tuned for a look at Stephen Curry's return and how Klay and KD adjusted. So Stephen Curry's back. As I said, a 33 net rating, 130 offensive rating, 96.5 defensive rating. In only 27 minutes, 28 points in 27 minutes. And, you know, this is going to be talked about ad nauseum. He comes in and he makes the first shot. Coming around multiple screens, they made the play specifically, and there was nothing else that was going to happen in that situation. Stephen Curry was going to come in. They were going to call a play for Stephen Curry. They weren't going to use him as a decoy. They weren't going to, nah. Like, it had been that long. Out March 8th with the ankle, comes back March 23rd, immediately injures his MCL, and out for an additional month and change. There was no way that this play was not going to be called for Stephen Curry, and he was absolutely ready. There was a good piece on Bleacher Report by Tom Haberstroh talking about Steph and talking to the people he works with to manage his body. Some good inside information there. I definitely would recommend that you read that piece. But the gist of it is that the people who are looking out for him, who were at the game, basically said he's fine. After he made that first shot, it was a beautiful play. He came from the right side of the court, came around a screen from Kevin Durant, came around a screen from Kevon Looney, and was able to spring open right at the three-point line. Draymond was just waiting for him. Just waiting for him. That was the only thing that was going to happen in that instance. Stephen Curry getting the ball. If he's not open, probably making a move to get open. and taking that three-pointer. Bottoms. For a second basket, he cuts from the weak side, gets Ian Clark. Ian didn't jump on the pump fake, but Curry was still able to make the shot. Just a nice little shot over Ian Clark. Well defended and still went in off the glass. This next shot, best shot of the night. Curry dribbles it off his foot on the right wing. Just barely avoids the backcourt violation. Comes up and shoots from the Oracle Arena logo. That's like 29 feet. Bottoms. I will give credit to Oracle Arena. They were extremely loud for Curry. I think Oracle is really, really enjoying this playoffs. And now that Curry's back, there's really no looking back. I don't even know why I bother predicting what lineup Steve Kerr is going to come out with. I think it's, I should just assume that he's going to do something completely out of the box, like in this case, starting Nick Young and bringing Stephen Curry off the bench. After saying he wasn't going to have a minutes limit, they decided to be careful with him. He only played 27 minutes, but was able to score 28 points in those minutes and did a lot of damage elsewhere as well. Three steals for the babyface pickpocket, 5 of 10 from 3, 8 of 15 from the field, and 7 of 7. From the charity stripe. For his next basket, and now we're in the second quarter, Curry shrugs off a screen by David West on the right side, goes left, goes straight at the basket, straight at 4 white shirts, and switches hands in the middle. Goes up with the left, kind of spins around a little bit, and finishes it with the right hand. Great move by Stephen Curry. And that's not called offense. And the previous shot from the Oracle logo, that's just Stephen Curry magic. And, you know, the Warriors have a lot of magic. They have Kevin Durant magic. They have Klay Thompson magic. But Stephen Curry magic really, really gets the arena going. And it's just a little bit more uncanny. Durant does everything so incredibly well. And I do want to get to talking about him. He did have 29 points in this game. But it's conventional magic. Stephen Curry's magic has never been seen before. The next shot was just an open shot from 20, 21 feet. The Pelicans just completely lost Curry, and Curry made them pay. The next Curry basket, and we're in the third quarter now, was off of an option play. You've got Kevin Durant coming around first with Draymond Green holding the ball at the top of the key. Curry's running right behind Durant. Kevin Durant swings down to the key. Draymond could hit him for the basket, but instead finds Curry swinging out to the three-point line on the left side, and he passes Curry the ball, gives him a good screen after the pass. Curry puts it up with Etuan Moore in his grill. He thought he got fouled on the play. He did kick his leg out a little bit. I'm fine with the no call, but that was just, it was a difficult shot. He's leaning forward when he begins to take the shot and squares up, kind of in the middle of his jump, but it's one of those patented Curry lean forward, you know, three-point shots where he just gets the ball and it's just one motion. His feet land on the ground. As he's going up, he squares up to the basket, and it's something that not a lot of players can do. I gotta move on to the next segment. I do want to continue breaking down Curry's baskets. I want to talk about Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson, how they played. I want to mention, you know, clearly Quinn Cook lost his spot in the rotation to Stephen Curry, and I guess that was what was always going to happen, but we might not be seeing a lot more of Quinn Cook in these playoff games anymore. But I also said I was going to talk about LeBron. I hope to briefly mention the game that LeBron was able to win. And I say LeBron because it's LeBron. It's not the Cavaliers. LeBron beat the Raptors. I want to break that down really quickly after we continue this conversation about the Warriors and the return of Stephen Curry. The next Curry three-pointer was in the fast break. He's running up on the right side, pulls up from 28 feet, buckets. We've seen it 1,000 times. That was with less than a minute to go in the third quarter. Curry once again brought his magic at the end of the fourth. By this time, the Warriors had built a 10-point lead, 116-107 with 147 left in the fourth. Draymond Green brings the ball up, passes down to Kevin Durant in the post, swings over to the left side, sets a pick at the top of the key for Curry. Curry comes right around, receives the ball from Kevin Durant, and once again, buckets, 13-point lead. Extremely simple play to spring Curry open, and it worked. Alvin Gentry knows these plays, but sometimes there's nothing you can do about it, with Draymond Green setting such crushing screens, and the other players finding Curry in the shooting pocket, and Curry just goes up so fast, what can the defense do, even if they know the play is coming? The other two snipers on the court for the Warriors, Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson, were turned into volume shooters, with Kevin Durant managing to make it work, going to the line 6 times, 11 of 23 from the field, 29 points, but he was only 2 of 7 on threes. Klay Thompson, 2 of 11 on threes, 4 of 20 on the night. Not a great game from him, other than the rebounding, the assisting, and the defense he played on Drew Holiday. Such a nice luxury to be able to have players who do score the ball, but when they go cold, the rest of their game doesn't completely fall apart. Klay Thompson kept the defense honest all night. They know that he's a huge, huge threat, and even though he missed 9 of his 11 three-point attempts, the Pelicans, I'm sure, took a big, deep breath every single time Klay put the ball up. One of his 2 three-pointers was a banker. The Bank of Oracle is open right at the end of the second quarter. Draymond gets credit for the offensive rebound there and tap to Klay Thompson for the open three-pointer. And, you know, sometimes you're just lucky. They just fall in like that. You know, sometimes it's just the way it goes. And the Warriors definitely needed that basket. And going into halftime must have been a little bit demoralizing for the Pelicans. And then there's Kevin Durant. What can I say about Kevin Durant that I haven't already said? He's just so good. And when you have Etwan Moore guarding him, he's going to go over him every single time. The Pelicans don't have anybody besides potentially Anthony Davis who can guard Kevin Durant. And Durant a few times was able to slip pass in the pick and roll balls to Draymond Green for dunks. He's just making every right play. 7 assists, 2 steals, 3 blocks to go along with the 6 boards and 29 points for Durant. 36 assists for the Warriors on the night, just special. And 33 for the Pelicans, no slouch there. I've said it before, I'll say it again, no team can run with the Warriors. There is no team that's better at doing the fast thing than the Warriors are. So if you want to do the fast thing against the Warriors, you better be ready to lose. One thing I do want to mention, Stephen Curry with 6 turnovers, a little rusty coming in there, but he turned the game. He really did turn the game. Game ball goes to Stephen Curry. Now, before we end, I want to get to LeBron James. I want to get to the Raptors, who snatched defeat out of the jaws of victory. The Raptors jumped out to a 14-point lead in the second quarter at 40-26, but they weren't able to manage it, and the offense of the Cleveland Cavaliers kicked into high gear. Halftime, 57-60, Raptors. The Cavaliers canned a bunch of threes in the run-up to halftime, and LeBron, of course, was really good. During the third quarter, though, early, Toronto jumped out to another lead, and then LeBron turned it on from the mid-range. A lot of jab-stepping, a lot of fadeaways, and he canned, seemingly shot after shot. His usage was insane, of course, but it's LeBron. I think that his teammates know what's going to happen, and they know that that's probably the best chance they have at winning, especially with the fairly simplistic offense they have in place that relies on LeBron so much and the defense that comes and goes. More Cavaliers showed up though. J.R. Smith canned some threes. Kyle Korver almost single-handedly kept them in the game with his three-point shooting late in the third quarter. And even so, the Raptors had a 10-point lead as late as 9:45 left to go in the fourth quarter, but the Cavs were able to come back to within 1 with 5 minutes to go. The Raptors seemed to be doing the things they needed to do to win the game. They were making good, scrappy defensive plays, and at one point it seemed like it was about to fall apart for the Cavs when Kevin Love elbowed DeMar DeRozan in the face. That looked like it hurt a lot. That put the Raptors up 105-103, but then LeBron James just, you know, he did what he does. Backed Ananobi down on the right side of the court just outside the key. A move to the left, turn around to the right. Rise up over Ananobi, who's the best on the Raptors at guarding LeBron. Didn't matter. Buckets. 30 seconds to go. Game tied. 105 all. And then on basically what amounts to the final possession of the game, Fred VanVleet had a wide open three-pointer. Caroms off the rim. DeRozan gets the rebound, puts it back up in midair, rolls around and out. CJ Miles with the tip, no good. Jonas Valanciunas with the tip, no good. Four chances, count them four. And the Cavaliers get the ball back with 0.6 to go. Still tied, 105 all. Cavs would go on to win in overtime. That is like the only way that the Cavaliers win. I don't think they blow out this team any times. The Raptors are just simply a better team and allowed the Cavaliers to shoot their way back into the game in the third and fourth quarters. So if they want to win the next game, they'll have to do a better job of keeping up with J.R. Smith and Kyle Korver, because there's no way they can keep up with LeBron. That's about as much time as we have for today. Tune in tomorrow. We'll continue all the playoff coverage. I do want to talk about the other series going on, the Rockets and the Utah Jazz, as well as the Celtics and the Philadelphia 76ers. We're also going to keep talking Dubs, obviously. Enjoy tonight's basketball and stay thoughtful, Hoopsheads.